From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Kim Eagle, ACC.org Editor-in-Chief, with this week's Eagle's Eye View, your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. This week, I've chosen three articles to review that I think represent interesting findings that may affect our practice either now or in the future. One is an article looking at the possibility of adding the P-wave indices to the CHADS-VASc risk score for estimating stroke risk in patients with AFib. Another is a preliminary report on the use of percutaneous intramyocardial septal radiofrequency ablation for hypertrophic disease. And the third is an article that looks at the use of liraglutide versus placebo and the effect on cardiovascular events in diabetics who have chronic kidney disease. It's a sub-analysis from the LEADER trial. So let's get started with the first article, which is titled Refining Prediction of Atrial Fibrillation-Related Stroke Using the P2 CHADS-VASc Score, and its analysis that takes advantage of the Atherosclerosis Risk in Community Study, ERIC, and the Multi-Ethnic Study of Atherosclerosis, MESA. So the authors studied 2,229 patients from the ERIC study and 700 patients in the MESA study who had incident AFib and were not on anticoagulation within a year of AFib diagnosis. And they studied P-wave indices on the ECG, particularly the abnormal P-wave axis and other P-wave measurement. They wanted to know if adding these data about the P-wave might improve the predictability of the model. So they compared a standard CHADS-VASc risk score to a P2 CHADS-VASc risk score using commonly used statistics. They used the ERIC study to derive the model and then test it on the validation cohort, the MESA patients. Interestingly, they found that an abnormal P-wave axis was associated with increased risk of ischemic stroke. The hazard rate was 1.84, and that was independent of the other elements that make up the CHADS-VASc risk score. When they calculated the C statistic, it improved from 0.6 to 0.67 in ERIC and 0.68 to 0.75 in MESA by adding the P-wave indices to the traditional CHADS-VASc risk score. So the authors concluded that potentially adding abnormal P-wave axis could improve the predictive ability of our currently used CHADS-VASc risk score for predicting AF-related stroke. A couple of perspectives here. First, obviously the patient has to be in sinus rhythm in order to estimate the P-wave axis. So this would only apply to patients where we have an electrocardiogram from the past that allows us to estimate the P-wave axis. Also, it's not known whether the timing between measuring an abnormal P-wave axis and the development of an AFib-related stroke may have important ramifications. And finally, it's a small study, so we need a validation. But it does get at that interesting question of whether some index of atrial remodeling in patients with AFib may provide additional predictability as we try to estimate risk and therefore use our anticoagulation strategies more effectively. Now I want to move to a very interesting preliminary report looking at percutaneous intramyocardial septal radiofrequency ablation for hypertrophic obstructive cardiomyopathy. As you know, we treat patients with hypertrophic disease with severe obstruction, sometimes by doing a surgical myomectomy. Other times we cause an infarct with alcohol ablation into septal perforator arteries. This technique is different. This is basically doing septal radiofrequency, much the way some of our colleagues in surgery are ablating small tumors in the kidneys, for example. This is a preliminary study. It was just 15 patients who had hypertrophic obstructive cardiomyopathy, and they had echo-guided percutaneous intramyocardial septal radiofrequency ablation. And they looked at the LVOT gradients, LV thickness, New York Heart Class, and other parameters pre- and post-ablation at 6 months. So the patients at baseline had a mean resting gradient of 88, and a peak stress gradient of 117 millimeters of mercury, and these dropped significantly. The resting gradient went from 88 to 11, and the peak gradient went from 117 to 25. The interventricular septum thickness dropped from an average of 25 to 14, which, of course, was highly significant. Also, the New York Heart Class Association improved from an average of 3 to 1, and exercise time on a treadmill went up by about 50%, and atrial natriuretic peptide levels fell precipitously by more than 75%. And not a single patient had a left bundle branch block or complete heart block. This is a very interesting paper, and admittedly, it's a small series, but I think it is potentially a new way for us to get at septal ablation without some of the risks that are inherent with, obviously, surgical approaches or doing alcohol ablation of vascular supplies to the septum. Clearly, we need a lot more research in this area, but I thought I would offer it to you kind of as a sneak glimpse of maybe a future strategy where we can use essentially a septal ablation catheter like we might use a laser knife to sculpt a septum without the hazards of an open thoracotomy or some of the vagaries of alcohol septal ablation. Okay, so the last paper I want to talk about today is a sub-analysis of the LEADER trial. You may remember this was a study looking at liraglutide versus placebo and the effect on cardiovascular events in patients with type 2 diabetes. This particular report looked at those patients who had chronic kidney disease. So, of course, this was a large trial, and in this particular analysis, over 2,000 patients had estimated GFR less than 60, and these were the subject of an analysis comparing them to over 7,000 patients who had a GFR greater than 60. And the question was, did liraglutide have a similar overall benefit, or was their effect even greater among these higher-risk patients? Well, in fact, the primary composite cardiovascular outcome with liraglutide, the benefit was greater, a hazard ratio of 0.69 in people who had a low GFR compared to the overall population, where the risk reduction was just a hazard ratio of 0.94. And this was consistent throughout the analyses of endpoints. Non-fatal MI was reduced more, non-fatal stroke, and cardiovascular death, as well as all-cause mortality. There was a greater benefit in patients who had evidence of renal dysfunction. So, you know, one of the groups of patients with diabetes who we particularly worry about are those who have early incident loss of renal function. And this post hoc analysis of the LEADER trial suggests that liraglutide actually reduces the risk of cardiovascular events even more in this high risk group. So this certainly, I think, is an important analysis. Obviously, this is a post hoc analysis, so we need a prospective dedicated study to confirm this, but it certainly looks very promising as we imagine all of the new agents that are now available for treating diabetes that appear to have a benefit on cardiovascular outcomes. So I've chosen several articles for you to think about this week, one looking at whether we can improve the CHADS-VASc risk score, another sneak peek about radiofrequency ablation of the septum in patients with hypertrophic disease, and lastly, this sub-analysis of the LEADER trial suggesting that liraglutide may have unique cardiovascular risk protection in patients with diabetes and evidence of renal dysfunction. I want to thank you for listening to Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACCA.org, and you can find these articles on the college's website. Also, I want to point out we have a new educational catalog on ACC.org, and it's located under the Education and Meetings tab on the website. Using this tool, you can sort our educational offerings by various formats, many of which are free. Find us online or wherever you get your podcasts. And until next week, I hope you have a good one. Thank you.